So there was a wise man who had a son and a farm. And one day, the wise man's horse ran off. And he summoned his neighbors and his friends to help him find the horse. And they looked and they couldn't find the horse. And the neighbors and friends said, "Well, that's bad luck." And the wise man said, "We'll see." 3 days later, the horse returned with three more horses. It's not a joke. And the friends and neighbors said, "Well, that's good luck." And the wise man said, "We'll see." His son decided to tame one of the new horses and break it, and in the process, the horse broke him. He bucked off the horse and broke his leg so severely that the doctor said, your leg will never fully function. You'll be able to live a normal life, but your leg will not be fully functional again. And the friends and neighbors said, "That's bad luck." And the wise man responded, "We'll see." Sometime later, a representative from the draft board came to give the son his draft card. And upon seeing the condition of his leg and the prognosis of the doctor, he said, "You are not fit to fight in war." And the neighbors and friends said, "That's good luck." And the wise man responded, "We'll see." You see, the point of that is that none of us has the capacity to understand and foresee how all of life's events, good and bad, intertwine and work all of them together for God's good. We can't. We don't have that vision. Think, if you will, what we can see now. What can you and I see together? The beautiful inside of a church. We can see each other, at least some of us. I can see all of you. You can see some of you. And all of me. But we can't see what's outside these walls. You can see what's behind me. I can't. I can see what's behind you. You can't. A car just went by. It was speeding too. You and I, the only thing you and I can say about the future, the only certain thing that we can say about the future, is that it doesn't exist. That's the only certain thing. Oh, we can have plans and we should. But the one thing about the future is it does not exist. Because when we get to the point that we thought would exist, it's no longer the future, it's the now. Why do I bring this up? Well, because, as I've said before, that there are not two certainties in life, there are three. Death, taxes, and suffering. Oftentimes, taxes feel like both of the others. And I say this because of what St. Paul said in our second reading this morning. The second reading is not commonly preached on. But if you watch the news, how timely and applicable it is. Listen to what he says again. "Brothers and sisters, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. In my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ on behalf of his body, the church." What's lacking in the sufferings of Christ? Nothing as far as he's concerned. He's God, and he said, it is finished. And yet St. Paul says something is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. It's there in Scripture. We have to come to terms with it. We can't just ignore it. What's lacking? Our participation in those sufferings. Our participation in those sufferings. What is suffering? Well, suffering is our response to an evil. So what's an evil? Well, the technical philosophical definition of an evil is that it is a non-entity. Evil is a non-being. Evil is a lack of a good that is due. So, for example, cold is a lack of warmth. Darkness is a lack of light. Death is a lack of life. And I have to say, as I was going through this, it came to my mind that my golf game is an evil by definition because it's a lack of a good golf game. But an evil is a lack of a good that is due. And when that imposes itself on us, or we invite it, we suffer as a result. Now here's the perennial question of all of us. If God is all-knowing, if God is all-loving, and God is all-powerful, then God would know that there's suffering, especially when it's happening to me, right? He would know that it exists. He would want to do something about it. And because he's all-powerful, he could do something about it. So if God exists, why is there suffering? That's a good question. Why doesn't he just eliminate it? It's because of free will. You see, he created us in love, for he is love. We read that in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16. God is love, and love only wills the good. And so he created us in his image and likeness. That is love. Therefore, one of the foundations of love is what, husbands and wives? Freedom. Has to be. Otherwise, it ain't love. And so, therefore, he gives us free will to choose the good, and we can choose what is evil. Doesn't make evil a good choice, but we have the freedom to choose it. And if he were to eliminate suffering, remember, he did not create suffering. He can't. It's a non-entity. He didn't give us suffering. We gave him suffering by sin. So if he was to eliminate suffering from this life, he would have to strip us of our freedom. And he can't do that because it would contradict his very nature. So what does he do with suffering? All of sacred scripture in one form or another is about God's response to suffering. What does he do? He does not acknowledge it and then walk away and say, good luck to you. He enters into it. Yes, into our suffering. Look no further than the cross. That's not an isolated incident. That's an example. That's the ultimate suffering he took our place in. But it's also an example that in every single suffering, he wants to participate in it with us. But here's the key. We got to let him. We have to let him. You know that saying offered up That's probably one of the most annoying sayings that you could ever hear. When you're the one suffering and some pious person comes up to you and says, "We'll offer it up." Yeah, I'll offer it up. Come a little closer. You can participate in my suffering. You want to be Jesus? Come on, I'll help you. And you know what? That response would almost be right if, in fact, it was merely cliche. But it's not. It is grounded in Corinthians 1:24. I rejoice in my sufferings. Why? Because St. Paul knew this in the depths of his being. Second, maybe only to Jesus. I mean, Jesus suffered the most. St. Paul probably suffered the second most in human history. And he knew that by inviting God into his sufferings went from pure vanity that lead only to despair to having the very power of God that can change the world and does change the world. Please note that the greatest suffering brought about the greatest good. The torture and deicide, the murder of God, brought about eternal salvation for those of us who accept it. So what do we do when we're suffering? Invite God into it. And don't let your sufferings go to waste. I think I've shared this with you, but I think it's worthwhile sharing again if I did. When my dad was in the ER one evening because of his leukemia, he was bleeding from his nose profusely. They couldn't stop it. He was in the room, and I think they had finally gotten it to stop. They were waiting for everything to settle. He was laying there on the gurney, and the back was kind of tipped up. In front of the door walked a Catholic priest, Father Joe Gouin. Father Joe is still a pastor at the age of 86 or 87 to this day. Father Joe knew this. As he walked by, you know, when you walk by an empty room, you just naturally kind of glance in. It's not a bad curiosity. You just happen to glance in. And he saw my dad, and his momentum carried him past the door. And he returned, and he just poked his head in, and he said, "Don't let your sufferings go to waste." And he carried on. My mom was around the corner. She said, "Who is that?" My dad said, "It was one of the priests." She said, "Do you understand what he means by that?" He said, "No." She said, "Join your sufferings to the cross of Christ." He said, but how? And she said, "Just like that. Jesus, I unite my sufferings to yours." What this doesn't do is take away your pain necessarily. It doesn't take away the suffering. But what it does is it gives it divine purpose. It gives it salvific purpose. Because in our sufferings united to those of Christ, we participate in his saving work. We can offer our sufferings for the souls of our family, our friends, and the whole world. Are you suffering now? Maybe you are. And if not, praise God. But be prepared, because it's one of the three things life promises. But whether you are now or you will in the future, I offer you those powerful words that are no cliche. Offer it up. And don't let your sufferings go to waste.